Rayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Vishnu Paramahamsa Charya Shrota Shrota Shishimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jaya Vishnu Paramahamsa Charya Shrota Shrota Shishimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki Jai Prem Sikho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shishi Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Gangamai Yamunamai Ki Jai Tulasi Devi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Hari Nam Sankirtan Yagya Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol Ogoris Samrivotis Ogoris Samrivotis Ogoris Samrivotis Ogoris Ogoris Shishi Guru and Gauranga Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Hare Krishna. So we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 30, Text 27 through 32. Rama Niryana Malokyam Bhagavan Devaki Sutam Nishasada Daropastem Tushnimasadhya Pipalam Rama Niryana Malokyam Bhagavan Devaki Sutam Nishasada Daropastem Tushnimasadhya Pipalam Rama Niryana Malokyam Bhagavan Devaki Sutam Nishasada Daropastem Tushnimasadhya Pipalam
Nishasada Daropastem
Just a short announcement. There is a red Toyota station wagon out with the lights on. So probably you just want me to mention that if it's yours, you may want to turn it off so your battery does not go dry. Okay, so we're going to read translation, and actually there's no purpose. All right. Rama Niryanam. The departure of Lord Balaram. Alokyam. Observing. Bhagavan. The Supreme Lord. Devaki Sutam. The son of Devaki. Nishasadam, sat down. Dara upastem, on the lap of the earth. Tushnim, silently. Asadyam, finding. Pipalam, a pipala tree. Translation. Lord Krishna, the son of Devaki, having seen the departure of Lord Rama, sat down silently on the ground under a nearby pipala tree. And we have texts 28 through 32. We will chant them together. So, let's do it.
Bibhrajaturbhujam rupam Vrajishnu prabhaya svayam Dishovitam nirakarvam Vidumayiva pavakam Shrivatsankam ganashyamam Tattahatakavarchasam Kaushyambaram vikmenam Parvitam sumangalam Sundara smita vakrajam nila kuntala manditam kunda raksham spuramakara kundalam kati sutra brahma sutra kirta katha kandadari haranupara vishutam Vannamala paritangam murti madhagirni kirtraksh padam asinam pankajaranam.
Thank you. The Lord was exhibiting his brilliantly effulgent four-armed form, the radiance of which, just like a smokeless fire, dissipated the darkness in all directions. His complexion was the color of a dark blue cloud, and his effulgence the color of molten gold. And his all-auspicious form bore the mark of Srivatsa. A beautiful smile graced his lotus face. Locks of dark blue hair adorned his head. His lotus eyes were very attractive, and his shark-shaped earrings glittered. He wore a pair of silken garments, an ornamental belt, the sacred thread, bracelets, and arm ornaments, along with the helmet, the Kaustubha jewel, necklaces, anklets, and other royal emblems. Encircling his body were flower garlands and his personal weapons in their embodied forms. As he sat, he held his left foot with its lotus red sole upon his right thigh. Ramanirjanam Alokya Bhagavan Devaki Sutam Nishasada Darupaste Tushnimasa Yapipalam. Lord Krishna, the son of Devaki, having seen the departure of Lord Rama, sat down silently on the ground under a nearby pipala tree. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshun Malitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Pancha Kalpa Trubhyasya Kripa Sirmevyocha Patitanam Pavanabhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrindam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I have few photos to help us visualize the setting, the beautiful setting that's described here. So, as we heard in the previous verses, just a sec. There we go. So I'm not chasing the mic. So we find the current point in this description where Lord Krishna is actually preparing to leave, to depart this material world. And naturally, it is very sad feeling for any devotee to even have a thought of Lord departing. But as we heard yesterday, wonderful description by Mother Madhumati. She assured us the Lord is still present with us in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. There is also a verse saying, Kali Kali, Kali Kale Nama Rupe, Krishna Avatar. So the Lord also appears in this age of Kali in the form of His holy name. And now we finally see, after instructing his confidential devotee, Uddhava, so many wonderful instructions, the Lord is finally getting his activities, finalizing his affairs in this material world, and he's sitting peacefully under this peepal tree. So it's very interesting. In the Gita, we find actually one of the verses after Arjuna inquired from the Lord. He said, "My dear Lord, how shall I remember you? In what ways can I?" And we all think of, you know, same question quite often. So Arjuna is saying, how shall I constantly think of you, and how shall I know you? And then Lord Krishna goes through the 10th chapter of Gita, describing his opulences. And then in one of the verses, he's saying, of all the trees, I'm the banyan tree, and of the sages among the demigods, I'm Narada. Of the Gandharvas, I'm Chitrarata, and among the perfect beings, I'm the sage Kapila. So interestingly, he's talking about the tree, and we see it right here. So he's saying, among the trees, I'm the banyan tree. So I did a little bit of research. This peepal tree, basically, peepal tree and banyan tree, they're very close cousins. They come from the same family of the trees. In the West, it's known as Ficus religiosa. Basically, it's known for ages. It's been worshipped throughout the world. It's a sacred tree. And it's described that basically not only Hindus, even Buddhists, they worship the same tree. And also, I believe, Buddhists, Hindus, and in the Buddhism, Hinduism, and Jainism. So the same tree is basically considered very, very special. So it's described that one particular quality of this tree, it lives for very, very long time. It's described that even at the present day, there is a tree which is known as Jaishree Mahabodhi, that it's older than 2,000 years. And so very, very special tree. And we here have a photo to help us visualize that. Beside that, it's said that according to the science of Ayurveda, every part of the peepal tree, the leaf, bark, shoot, seeds, and its fruit have several medicinal benefits. And it's been used since ancient times to cure many diseases. I think it's mentioned even up to 50 different diseases. So very, 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 very auspicious tree. So in this verse, basically we have wonderful description of the Lord. How beautiful the Lord is. It's described here. The Lord was exhibiting his brilliantly effulgent four-armed form, the radiance of which just like a smokeless fire. If you ever observed fire during camping or something, you notice when the fire gets really strong and there is no smoke, it's just like, you know, really, really powerful fire. How it's like illuminating everything around, and it's also warm and very pleasant to be nearby. So similarly here, the Lord is compared to smokeless fire, and says it dissipated the darkness in all directions. His complexion was the color of dark blue cloud, and his effulgence the color of molten gold. So in Bhagavad Gita, Lord also mentions janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vyakti tatta. So one who understands his appearance and disappearance after leaving this material world will go back home to Godhead. And it is very, very mysterious how Lord appears and how he disappears. Just like a sun, the sun will appear in one place and simultaneously it may seem like it's disappearing on the other place. But it continuously, it's present. It's just for our vision, it may not be, you know, we may not see it. So, like right now, maybe, I don't know what time in India, but, you know, they may be seeing sunset, we see the sunrise. So, in some parts of the universe, the Lord will appear, and in some parts, he will be disappearing. And those pastimes, they continue eternally. So, one time, there was a very, very beautiful conversation between Damodar Pandit and Murari Gupta. So Damodar Pandit, he asked Murari, he said, why did Lord Gauranga appear? Why did Lord Krishna abandon his Shyam color and assume the golden form? Why did he abandon the dress of cowboy and he dressed as sannyasi? Why he traveled all over the place and preached and spread his harinam? So Damodar Pandit was inquiring like that. And Murari Gupta, he said, Pandit Damodar, listen carefully. I will tell you amazing, amazing pastime of the Lord, which basically depicts the confidential reasons of the Lord's appearance. And then he started telling the story about Narada Muni. One time, Narada Muni, he was traveling as he always does, and he arrived at Naimisharanya, and there was, guess who? Sri Uddhava. So our beloved Sri Uddhava. So he met Narada Muni there, and he received him with a very, very heartwarming welcome, and he bathed his lotus feet, and then he revealed his mind. Devotees, they reveal their minds confidentially, and so that is one of the exchanges between the pure devotees. So he said, "My dear Narada, previously here Srila Vyasadeva resided, and he was previously Vyasadeva lived here at Naimisharanya compiling the Vedas, but he was not satisfied. Then by your confidential instructions, Vyasadeva wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam in order to deliver the people in general. Narada, you know the absolute truth and the science of Krishna consciousness. Since you can understand the mind of Lord Krishna, please tell me about the future." Future means us, you and me. So Uddhava, he was actually, out of his compassion, he was lamenting. He said, "The people of Kali Yuga are blinded by the total absorption in sinful activities. In the previous ages of Satya, Treta, and Dwapara, people were religious. But in Kali Yuga, the darkest of ages, however, people know nothing about piety. Please dispel my doubt, for no one surpasses you, your kindness. Can you tell me how people in the age of Kali will be delivered?" So Uddhava was lamenting like that. And then Sri Narada said, "My dear Uddhava, guess what? I have the same problem. I was having the same worry and an anxiety that was disturbing my mind. And I was crying and lamenting. But guess what happened? I'm just coming from the Dwaraka in the spiritual world, and I witnessed amazing pastime of the Lord. Please listen carefully." So then Sri Naradaji, he goes on to describe a wonderful scene that he has seen in Dwaraka, in the spiritual world. So what was happening? Lord Krishna, he spends every night with one of his queens, and he was with his queen Satyabhama, and the next day he was going to visit his queen Sri Rukmini. So when he arrived, Rukmini, of course, she prepared very beautifully her palace. She cleansed it so nicely, even though it was perfectly clean. But, you know, that is the devotee's attitude. He wants the perfect arrangement, everything to be beautiful and nicely decorated for the Lord. So Rukmini, she received the Lord, and when he arrived, she offered him a comfortable seat and bathed his lotus feet. And while she was doing that, she was holding to the Lord's lotus feet and crying continuously. And Krishna was, you know, a little bit astonished by her behavior. It's described here. It says, Chakrapani. Chakrapani, I love that name. The Lord with that chakra. Chakrapani, becoming astonished, asked Rukmini, "O Devi, I can't understand why you are weeping. Please tell me why you are crying so profusely. The whole world knows that you are my favorite. Who is more dear to me than you?" Krishna continued, "Have I disobeyed you in any of your orders or done anything wrong?" So the Lord was inquiring like that. What did I do wrong? And Rukmini, she couldn't even speak. She was so much affected by the love for the Lord. And then finally she answered. She said, "My Lord, your lotus feet are more dear to me than even you yourself. After drinking Madhvika, an intoxicating celestial drink, Lord Shiva danced continually, hoping to attain your lotus feet. Prabhu, you know everything there is to be known, but how is it that you don't understand the heart of one who loves your lotus feet?" And then she said something really important. She said, "You will understand the intensity of the love I feel if you cultivate Radha Bhava, the mood of Srimati Radharani's selfless love within your heart." So very, very interesting point here. And then Lord Krishna, he started thinking, and he actually thought, like, all my devotees, they relish that sweetness, but, you know, I never experienced that. And then he said, "My dear Rukmini, oh my beloved, I've never heard such an amazing and wonderful description. Until today, no one has ever suggested to me that I should personally taste the love that my pure devotees have for me." So while they were discussing like that, basically, then Naradaji arrives, Narada Muni. And the Lord notices him, and Narada is totally filled with an anxiety. He is coming from the material world where he witnessed the people of age of Kali being engaged in all kinds of sinful activities. And he is lamenting out of the compassion. That is the nature of the pure devotee, just like Srila Prabhupada. Always looking to save the fallen conditioned souls. So Naradaji was thinking, if I'm the true devotee of the Lord, I will have a potency to bring him to this material world. Other than him, nobody can save these living entities who are suffering life after life. And he was thinking, the mind of a devotee is same as the mind of the Lord. In other words, they think the same. Devotee thinks what the Lord is desiring, and the Lord is thinking about his devotees. So it's kind of like a really, really wonderful relationship. So Narada was thinking, if I'm true devotee of the Lord, I will have to bring the Lord to this material world. So thinking like that, he arrived in Dwaraka, and it's described. It says, Narada's eyes were reddish and brimming with the tears of divine love. His voice was choked up in his and his body was shaking. Narada was so overwhelmed from seeing Krishna that all he could do was cry. Though trying repeatedly, Narada could not speak due to the effect of transcendental ecstasy. Lord Krishna said, "O great sage, please tell us clearly why you are so unhappy and disturbed. You are dearer to me than my own life. I know also that I'm your very life and soul. It devastates me to see you in such condition." So then Narada went and described his reason for the visit. And upon hearing that, Krishna finally reveals his plan. And maybe we can see the number two. So in the following verses, basically, Lord Krishna will reveal his plan to Shri Narada. Yes. Beautiful form of Lord Chaitanya. So listen carefully. Lord Krishna continued, "Listen, Narada, I just heard a wonderful description from Rukmini. As a result of that, I want to promise you, Narada, that in the age of Kali, I will manifest form filled with humility. I shall become devotee of myself in order to taste the happiness relished by my pure devotees. Not only will I experience the bliss of prema bhakti, but I will give it out to everyone in the world. Although I am the Supreme Lord, I will appear as my own devotee. In the association of other devotees, I will freely distribute my love by performing Harinam Sankirtan, congregational chanting of my holy names. I will appear in the transcendental abode of Navadvip in Sridhar Mayapur, within the home of Sachimata. Then Krishna explained the qualities of his incarnation in Kali Yuga, by which he would attract the conditioned souls. Lord Krishna said, Narada, my transcendental body will be tall, molten gold in color, and my arms will be long and beautiful. The incomparable beauty of my golden form will defeat the beauty of Mount Sumeru. While absorbed in this ecstasy, Lord Krishna suddenly showed his form as Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Hari, Hari! Narada Muni fainted in divine rapture upon holding this most beautiful form of Lord Krishna, which would appear in the coming age. Murari Gupta continued his story. Beholding such a wonderfully beautiful form, Narada Muni's heart burst with love and tears rushed from his eyes in thousand streams. Gauranga's brilliant golden complexion was more effulgent than millions of suns. The shining beauty of millions of moons and millions of cupids would have been put to a shame by his inconceivable beautiful face. Blinded by Gauranga's dazzling effulgence, the sage closed his eyes and trembled in ecstasy. Seeing Narada's stunned condition, Lord Krishna withdrew. Lord Krishna said, O Narada, O most fortunate sage, you will be loved wherever you go. Please go throughout the universe and tell the residents of Brahma Loka and Shiva Loka that I will soon incarnate in Kali Yuga as Lord Gauranga. In this form of personified mercy, I will establish the Yuga Dharma of Sankirtan Yajna. So, I just wanted to share this pastime with all of you. As we all know, in the upcoming weeks, we have a very auspicious appearance of Lord Nityananda, and then shortly after, we have also wonderful appearance of Lord Chaitanya. So remembering these wonderful pastimes essentially helps us to purify our own heart and to be more and more absorbed in the worship service of the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya, he spent and he performed so many wonderful pastimes in this material world. And these pastimes, they meant actually to attract our heart, to purify our consciousness. So while staying in Jagannath Puri, every evening Lord Chaitanya, he would discuss his pastimes with his confidential associates. And at one point they were reciting the verses about the Rasa Lila in Raj. So Lord Chaitanya, it's described, he was every day he was floating in the ocean of separation from the Lord Krishna. And sometimes he would behave in ways that his devotees, you know, could hardly understand. Very unpredictable ways. So one time they recited the verse describing the water pastimes of Krishna and Gopis in Raj. And upon hearing that verse, Lord Chaitanya, he became mad and he ran so fast. It's described that he ran with speed of mind. Can you imagine how fast that is? Very fast. So he ran so fast, nobody could see him. He just disappeared and he jumped into the ocean, mistakenly thinking it's the river Jamuna. On the moonshine, out of the reflection from the moon, he mistook the ocean for the river Jamuna. So he jumped in and totally intoxicated in the pure love of Godhead, he was floating in the ocean waves. And as he was floating like that, the ocean was taking further and further away, and actually it took him away to the place known as Konak, I believe. It's where is the temple of Lord Suryadev, in a nearby distance away from Jagannath Puri. So while he was in the water, it happened so that evening there was a fisherman. And as fishermen would do, trying to capture the fish, that fisherman threw the net. And as he pulled the fisherman's net, he felt something really big inside. And as he pulled it closer, he couldn't even figure out what is happening. But eventually he thought it was big fish. He touched that body inside the net and he became totally mad. His hair was standing on end. He was shivering. He was crying uncontrollably. And he was just chanting, Hari, 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 Hari. So next morning, all the associates of Lord Chaitanya, they were searching all night for him. They were searching everywhere, all night, and they could not find him. So next morning, they were totally devastated from the separation from the Lord. They were still looking, and suddenly they saw the fisherman in the distance, and they noticed he was acting a little bit strange. And not, he was not normal. He was not behaving as a normal person. He was like dancing and jumping and laughing and crying all at the same time. And so they looked at him and they approached him and they said, my dear fisherman, why are you behaving like that? What happened to you? And he said, and he was first, he was like, hurry, 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 hurry. And then finally he calmed down. And he said, you can't believe what happened to me. Last night I was in the ocean, trying to catch the fish. And I know it's really sinful. I shouldn't be, killing the fish. And normally I chant Nishima prayer to protect me. But last night I caught something which I believe is a ghost. And when I chanted Nishima prayer, that ghost became even stronger. Like he attacked me even more. Even Nishima prayer could not protect me. So, and he was describing like that. And devotees were listening. Swarup Damodara was there. And he said, the fisherman said, I have to find somebody to relieve me from this ghost. Because what will my family do if I die? I'm totally lost. And Swarup Damodara, being very intelligent, he understood what was happening. And he said, oh, don't worry, I'm the expert, ghost catcher. Yes, I don't know how to say the word, but that's it. So, I will help you. He said, just close your eyes. And the fisherman closed his eyes, and Swarup Damodara placed his hands on his head and chanted some mantras. And then slapped him 3 times. And he said, now you're free. Now don't worry. Now take us to that body. And he actually described, I think that is actually Lord Chaitanya. That is not a ghost. That That is Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the fisherman was finally relieved from the great fear. And when they arrived, of course, they saw Lord Chaitanya was there. So I know we are running out of time, but there's so much to be said always. Anyhow, all these wonderful pastimes, they're for our own benefit. And in a similar way, just like that fisherman was touched by Lord Gauranga and became intoxicated by the love for Krishna, in a similar way, we all actually are so fortunate that in one way or the other, we've been touched by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his sincere followers, that we have a great, great opportunity to perfect our lives and go back to Godhead. So let us all meditate on the upcoming appearance of Lord Gauranga and take our devotional practice more and more seriously every day. Thank you so much. I will stop here. If anybody would like to comment, or any questions, critics, or anything, please feel free to speak. Yes, Prabhuji.
I noticed in the first verse it mentioned him as the son of Devaki.
Yes.
And then it mentions he has four arm form. So I was thinking as generally it's Mother Yasoda in the two arm form. So you think that's why it was like that, Devaki, and then they show Krishna, the four arm form?
To be honest, I don't know, but it sounds like probably
and
you're correct.
I noticed in the, in that same picture, with his four arms, he had a conch shell, a flower, but his other two arms didn't have anything in the hands, the chakra and the club, because those are for the demons. So he didn't have those in his hands.
Thank you. Yeah, it was mentioned that actually his weapons were present in their embodied forms. I don't know if it may be in the verse I read or maybe in the verses that are coming, but it's going to be described in the verses that are following in this chapter later on when the Ruka arrives, how actually his chariot and the weapons, they will all depart back to the spiritual world. Thank you. Yes. Anybody else? Yes, Madam Adamati.
I was just thinking about how Krishna's compassionate nature, you know, like you said yesterday, we were hearing about he comes in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam for us, and here this morning we're hearing about him coming as Lord Gauranga for us fallen people. Just thinking about that, how he's so anxious to somehow or other bring us back to him, and we're so stubborn to stay here.
Very stubborn. Yes, that is unfortunately true, that Lord's desire to bring us home is stronger than our own desire to go back home. And fortunately, we have our Srila Prabhupada that is compassionately presented so many wonderful pastimes in his books to help us more and more develop the desire, because like you said, we are so stubborn, especially me. But eventually, as we hear more from Vaishnavas and as we associate with devotees, that desire will become bigger and bigger and stronger and eventually take us back home. Yes, Prabhu.
Nicely presented the Mahaprabhu's revelation of the highest form of ecstasy to the fisherman, but yet fisherman is deprived. If you really read Nectar of Devotion and Ujjal Nilmani, where this mood that Mahaprabhu exhibited, it is almost impossible anybody to even imagine the ecstasy they experience. It is unbelievable, never explained before Mahaprabhu came. But yet, the fisherman came so close and he was deprived. And I think like this, that Prabhupada also gave so much to us. And I hope, I wish everybody would grasp that, otherwise they will be also deprived. I mean, even if you think like, you have mentioned Swarup Damodar slapped him and acted as an exorcist or ghostbuster too. But he was actually deprived of the highest ecstasy. Mm-hmm. Maybe I will be also, if I am not fully aware what Prabhupada has come to give. Because externally it appears one thing of Krishna consciousness, but internally this is the highest happiness of soul, each for each soul. And if we don't have a good association and we don't really thrive for it, we will be deprived just like that fisherman. He came so close, yet so far.
Thank you. Thank you. Very, very nice point. Yeah, I feel like sometimes I need somebody to slap me to wake up.
I just have that question from Pran Govinda Prabhu. Is to maybe explain a little further about how he came so close but he didn't get it? Because it almost seemed like he was in ecstasy chanting Hare Krishna, and certainly he didn't understand what was going on. But it seemed like he was in ecstasy, so maybe you can explain that a little bit more.
In the gradation, in Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, we are familiar with the seven steps in our path right at this moment. The Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartani Vritti, Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhav. And Prabhupada said that when somebody arrived to Asakti, to Bhav, he is actually out of Maya, Maya cannot touch. Prabhupada actually few places in Bhagavatam mentioned. So it's very aspiring up to this. But after that, where the real happiness of Brajavasi began, where the prema began, prema, then next stage is sneha, then mana, raga, pranaya, bhava, mahabhava, rura bhava, adi rura bhava, then madanakya mahabhava, mohana bhava. These are 16 stages that the Brajavasi, and it will take probably million life to explain that. I'm just giving the names that fascinates me. So Mahaprabhu was experiencing in this mood is Madanakya Mahabhava, the highest ecstasy of Radharani's feeling, which Krishna cannot experience. Krishna can never get what Radharani is experiencing, but Krishna is, that's why you can say tricky way, he stole the mood of Radharani and took the golden form to experience that. But the fisherman was fortunately came in contact but got deprived because Swarup Damodar they experienced. So they saw he is not fit for this, it's okay. Leave him alone peacefully and go on. Prabhupada even expressed one time, Madan Mohan Prabhu knows, Prabhupada says, I wish someday I would talk about Krishna's pastime with my followers. So there is something more, maybe, than just what we are getting day to day. I should not say we, I, day to day. So I should be seeking. Prabhupada actually wanted to give also more.
Thank you so much. Anybody else? Yes, Prabhupada.
I was just thinking the encouragement that we get is that if we can just continue going here, and following the routine sadhana that Srila Prabhupada has given us, then we do have the prayers that we have, like the Ashabandha prayers, and that's what we're to do. And Krishna becomes conquered by that, jita jito. So we stay in our position and we just continue here from the pure devotees and hanker for that, the Ashabandhas, the Kaya, hanker, Lala Samayi.
In the Dwarka pastimes that you were sharing, you'd mentioned attachment to the Lord's feet rather than the Lord's person. I was wondering if you might be able to elaborate.
I don't think I'm qualified. But essentially that is what Srimati Rukmini Devi expressed. And my thinking is that lotus feet are more important for devotee in the sense that we are humbly seeking the service. Maybe Pranagavindu can say something more about that.
I only remember one person that Jayapatala Maharaj told me. I used to serve him in 78. He was reading 32nd chapter of Krishna book, and he told Prabhupada that I don't feel like very comfortable when I read this chapter about Krishna's dealing with the gopis and other. Prabhupada said, go back to 1st and 2nd canto, because those are the lotus feet of the Lord. And lotus feet of the Lord will remove all unqualified stuff, like anarthas and everything. So absorb there more and more, and when you feel confident, then you should read. That's why I wrote this Krishna book. Mm-hmm. So like that, it is necessary, the first canto, second canto, which represent the lotus feet of the Lord. And that's where all the impurities will disappear. Even Krishna is attracted to his own lotus feet. That you can see, I mean, here also I noticed that peacock feather, you see, little leaning towards the lotus feet. Whoever dressed today, I forgot to hear. That Narad Muni asked the peacock feather one time, why you are leaning? He said, all the sages, all the sadhus, everybody is always praying at the feet, and I'm also interested, what is in the feet? I'm always on the head. So then Narad Muni said, are you happy? He said, yes, I'm getting something unbelievable. So then when Krishna heard it, he also desired to suck his own feet. That's why he comes as a Bhata Krishna, where he sucks his own toes. Because there's unlimited nectar in the lotus feet too. And he can go on.
Thank you. Thank you. Very special sweetness at the lotus feet of the Lord. Yes, Mata.
There are certainly these very advanced devotees among us, but we barely see with our eyes. Well, I'm talking about me, I don't see them, with these tears flowing from their eyes and all that. Although some devotees said they saw it in Prabhupada. Is it because my very low position of devotional service is that I have the eyes to see the spirit souls upon our kirtans? Like devotees would have, you know, tears flowing from their eyes and shaking of the body and all that.
Mm. Yeah. Generally, devotees like that, they usually will try to hide it. So we may not even if we are in their presence, we may not see it. As you mentioned, we do know some of Prabhupada disciples, they did witness on a few occasions tears in Prabhupada's eyes. But even he would usually not manifest that too often in the public. Because people tend to misinterpret or criticize unnecessarily. So generally it's very, very, I wouldn't say, you know, it's not like, you know, any defect on your part, but just in general, pure devotees, they will usually hide very, very deep emotions from the public. Thank you so much. Garantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.